Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Glad to hear from you guys. Hey, real quick, before I forget it, we're going to be taking communion together this morning. So we do have some elements back there on the table in that basket. So if you haven't grabbed a communion element yet, right now is the perfect time before we get started here this morning. Easter is sneaking up on us quickly. It's going to be here April 20th. It's going to be a great day for all of us together. And we just encourage you guys to bring family and friends as well. We have flyers out here on that little table that you can grab and hand out to a friend or a family member. We're going to be having family breakfast together in the multipurpose room at 8:30 in the morning. We're going to have an egg hunt for the children at 9:45, and then our Easter service here at 10:30 a.m. So it's going to be a great morning. I think we're still collecting some candy donations there under the staircase on that table. And we still have an egg casserole sign-up sheet on the counter out here in the lobby as well. So there's still some areas that we can use some help there for that. But I think it is coming together, and I can't wait for Easter Sunday morning. We have the ladies' spring lunch coming up. It's going to be Saturday, April 26th at 11 a.m. It's going to be held right here at our church in the multipurpose room. It's a great time for food fellowship while hearing from God's word. There are sign-up sheets on the counters in the lobby. There's a whole bunch of different table designs that they have there. Make sure you check them all out and sign up for which one you want to be sitting at there for that event. May 11th is Mother's Day, and we're going to be having a child dedication that morning during the morning service. So if you would like to have your child dedicated to the Lord, reach out to Pastor Glenn. His email is on the screen as well there for you guys. We still need some help just getting things done around here. We have the community cafe. That's how you guys are energized this morning. The sound and tech team, they have different areas that they can always use some extra help with. The children's church teachers, childcare during Sunday school for ages 0 to 4, and the worship team as well. They're always looking for some people to join them and help them worship in the morning. So if you guys have any giftings in any of those areas, maybe it's technology, maybe it's singing, an instrument, reach out and let us know. We'd like to get you guys using those gifts and talents that you guys have. Capital Area Pregnancy Center has a Shot for Life, a Shot at Life, taking place May 3rd in Central Penn Sporting Clays in Wellsville. There's opportunities for participants as well as sponsorship for this event. You guys can see more details on the slide, and we also have flyers out there as well if you want to take one along with you. Hey, real quick, if this is your first time joining with us, we do have a gift for you. If you go out these doors and take right, you'll see those counters that I've been mentioning in the lobby there, and there's some white gift bags there. In those bags is a gift for you, as well as a little Connect card that you can fill out and hand into the office just to help us get to know you a little bit more and get introduced to us as well. Awesome. Well, before we go into a time of prayer, the last announcement is about the Grandparenting Matters Seminar happening April 27th. And we have a short video this morning, and it's different than last week. So hold on here. Direct your attention to the screens real quick.
My name is Bonnie Bradford, and the title of this Grandparenting Matters seminar really got my attention. And then you put the word Christian, Grandparenting Matters, I knew I wanted in. I've been a Christian a long time, many years, but I've always had to have a long-distance relationship with my grandchildren. That has recently changed with the loss of my husband, which made the seminar even more important to me. Society seems to think that, or gives us the impression anyway, that once we retire and grow older, that the good life is in a sunshine state, just worrying about yourselves and nobody else to worry about and just relaxing all day. But I have found that sunshine in the faces of my grandchildren, and I want to be around to help if needed or just to tell them about Jesus, the only way to heaven. It's exciting to learn what the Bible has to say about grandparenting. And we really do have an important role to play as a Christian grandparent. And I hope all you out there all you grandparents will be at our seminar coming up.
Making sure the time you spend with your grandkids isn't just spoiling them, taking them to movies and buying them things, but it's about making sure they understand that God is real, that God cares for them as we care for them, and that our love is small compared to what God's love is for them.
We don't just raise our kids and then they're adults and they have their kids and then we're done. We're supposed to run alongside them with the grandkids, helping to raise them and help them, support them, build them up as well.
Awesome. So you guys saw it. They'll be out there at a table in the lobby afterwards. If you guys have any questions or you're ready to register today, they'll be waiting for you out there. Awesome. Well, at this time, I want to enter into a time of prayer. So let's all stand together and open in a word of prayer this morning. Prepare our hearts to worship God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. God, as we prepare for communion this morning, your word tells us to examine our hearts, to make sure that we're in right standing with you and with one another. God, during these times of worship songs, would it not just be a praise and prayer to you, but would it be a time of examination as we prepare to take communion together as a church body and a church family? God, we thank you and praise you for all that you do. We thank you for your Son, that he was sent, that we could be made right with you through his sacrifice. And God, that we get to celebrate him overcoming the death that he took on a cross for Easter here soon. God, we thank you and praise you so much. God, as we enter into this time this morning, would we just be fully focused on you and all that you do and all that you continue to do, God. We praise you and thank you this morning. Will we be your light to the world around us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming out and making it through the clouds and the rain that we've had recently. But even in the clouds and the rain, we can still worship the Lord and be joyful for all of the blessings he's given us. So let's do that now.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Bless the Lord. Soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
You may be seated. We're moving to a time of communion at this time. And as we sang that song and we move into this time, I was thinking about how important it is that we have the right focus in life. You know, that psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," is basically the psalmist telling himself what to think about. And you know, it's so important. Sometimes we just kind of let our minds go. Well, that's dangerous, right? We need to focus. And so the Lord has said that one of the things we're supposed to be doing on a regular basis is to remember to focus on what he has done for us. Now, we need to do that all the time. But as a corporate body, certainly we've been instructed by the Lord Jesus himself that we need to come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to remember what Jesus has done. That's what this is all about. And not just remembering as a knowledge piece. I mean, certainly it's important to get it into our heads, but it needs to go certainly from our heads to our hearts, like anything from the Lord. And so as we remember, you know, we remember a lot of things. We remember what Jesus did, right? But we also remember what he's done for us individually, and we remember how good he is, and we remember how faithful he is, and we remember the things that we need in order to go on in trusting him day by day. So it's not just that we get stuck on the remembering, but the remembering refreshes. The remembering keeps us in line. The remembering enables us to go forward with the Lord. Okay? Well, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, talks to the believers in Corinth who had a lot of issues going on. We won't get into all that, but he does give instructions about taking communion. Pastor Seth mentioned that in his prayer, that you know, one of the things is that we truly do examine ourselves, that we're coming with the right attitude, the right focus. We're not all about just, I mean, the Corinthians were all about having a party. You know, that's, we're in a little different setting, so I think that helps some. But certainly, it's about a focus on Jesus himself and the seriousness of what he has done for us. And Paul says an interesting thing, that he heard these words from Jesus himself. We don't have a record of when exactly that happened, but obviously, as an apostle, he heard specifically from the Lord. But I'm going to read just a little bit here before we pray, before taking communion. Paul said, "I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we take this bread and eventually the cup, we pray, Lord, that we will do it to remember you. We know that this process is not about doing anything on our own for the great need that we have for salvation, but it's to remember that you've done it all for us. Lord, we know that the wafer, the juice in itself has no power, but it represents where the power comes from, and that is in your giving your body and shedding your blood for us. That you are the true sacrifice that we need. You are the one who has made the way clear to a relationship with God through your death and resurrection. So, Lord, may we remember. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that has not yet come to know you, that even right at this moment, they will open their heart to you. For this is a time for those who know you to refresh and remember that which is true in our lives. And we thank you. We pray you bless this. Use it for our strengthening in you and for your glory. Amen. Take your wafer there, remembering that this represents that Jesus' body was broken for you. Take it and receive it with thanksgiving.
Passage continues on here. It says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood, do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's all take and drink together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can be united together as a family under you, God. No matter where we're coming from, no matter how different each of our backgrounds and raisings were, but God, that we're here this morning, that we're unified under you and the saving grace that you've given us through your Son. God, we thank you and we praise you each and every day for all that you've done, all that you did with Jesus, and what we're going to be celebrating here in Easter, and all that you continue to do each and every day. God, we thank you so much that you did this out of your great love for us. God, in your word, we just challenged each of us to understand how great that love is, that you were willing to give up your one and only Son for us. While we were still sinners, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Boys and girls, you can be dismissed. For kids, men, God bless you as you go. All right, today we are finishing up our study through the book of Philippians. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have, and I hope most of all, that you have been living out what Paul has told us to do, and that is to rejoice in the Lord, right? And we've been talking about that there is to be joy in our Christian life and all of the aspects that we read through the Scriptures, and that God, as we follow him in obedience, as we allow him to work in us, as we grow closer to Christ, we will find more and more that Christ is our joy. As we've gone through this book, just a quick review. Paul has greeted the church in Philippi. He has encouraged the believers there. He has thanked God for them. He has shared his love clearly with them and wants them to know more and more of the love of God in Christ. He's challenged them in areas where challenge is needed relationally in their walk with the Lord. He's given direction. He's given warnings. And as he ends this letter, he gives a very special promise. It is a promise that sends the readers away with joy in the Lord, which fits everything he's been saying. He shares with them something that he has experienced, and he wants them to know it and experience it as well. And it is the joy of knowing God's care. So let's take a look at these last verses in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verses 18 to 23. It'll be on the screen. And so let's begin at this time. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you their greetings. And all the rest of God's people send you greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. Excuse me. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul gives a final reminder here that he is appreciative of the gift that was given by the church in Philippi, sending Epaphroditus to him to give him that gift. He also shares that in the midst of a difficult situation of being imprisoned, an interesting statement. We looked at it last week. He says he has all that he needs and more. Wow, what? I mean, I think about that. Guy sitting in prison, not where he wants to be, probably not having a lot of things that he would want from a human perspective, but able to say, as he said in the previous passage, that he'd learned to be content, able to say here to these Philippians who, by the way, he is, I'm sure, anticipating a lot of struggle that they're going to be going through in the days to come. It's not going to get easier for them, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But he is saying to them, and he wants them to know, that he is content in the Lord, that their gift has been a wonderful gift from God to him, and he wants them to know that what they have done, he really appreciates, and it really is an amazing thing that they have done. He sees, as he says here, all of the things, the gifts that they have sent, and the sending of Epaphroditus, a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Now that phrase really takes us back, as we think about it, to the Old Testament law, all right? Takes us back to the book of Leviticus. And if you read in the early parts of Leviticus, several times when they're talking about the people offering a sacrifice for their sins, okay? Offering an animal to be burned or any other kind of offering that would be burned and consumed as a sacrifice to God for their sin, recognizing their need of forgiveness before God, recognizing how great and holy God is, and then burning these as he's instructed them to do, you will read over and over again that the smoke, the result of that burning went up as a pleasing aroma to God, okay? A sweet-smelling sacrifice, as it says here. It made me think also about what I read. It doesn't use this term, actually, but it is the same idea. And when you get in the book of Revelation, we read about the prayers of the saints being like incense going up into the presence of God. I always love that perspective. You know, the things that we do in sacrifice before the holy God that are appropriate within what he has called us to do, all right? When we're obedient, when we're living for the Lord, when our hearts are really seeking him, and we pray, they actually go up into his presence. You know? Now, how long does that incense go there? I think God is eternal. I think, you know, I've often thought about it from this perspective, kind of getting off on a little side piece here. But, you know, I've had relatives that have prayed for me, okay, and they're deceased. Okay, does that end? Now, I don't believe so. I believe the prayers are eternal. God is eternal, right? The incense, the aroma, the sweet smell, and I'm still being blessed as a result of others' prayers. And I can be a blessing eternally to others as I pray. You know, as I bring them before the Lord. It's not my prayers, of course, that do it, but it's my prayers in trusting the God who can make the difference as I bring my requests to him. And what a great promise. We talked about that through this passage as we were back in an earlier passage about bringing all our requests to him and how he meets us with peace and mercy and grace. Amazing. Now, as we shared last week, Paul is demonstrating the balanced life that brings contentment. He's appreciative of the love and gifts from his brothers and sisters in Christ, but at the same time, he wants to keep the focus for himself and for those he writes to, on God being the one who supplies it all, right? He's thankful to them. He has received it as a gift from God, he gives God the praise because he wants them to learn that balance too. And he wants us to. I mean, this is not just for the Philippians, right? This is the word of God. It's for us today. And so Paul says that he rejoices in knowing that God is pleased with their sacrifice. For he acknowledges that it is a sacrifice, as he stated in verse 17. He wants them, then, to receive a reward for their sacrificial kindness. Now, in these closing statements, he's reminding us of how we should live and view life as followers of Christ. It is finding contentment in God and his faithfulness. It is living a life of gratitude, not grumbling and complaining, but rather rejoicing and really being satisfied in the Lord. Yeah. We live in a culture that's far from satisfied. Everybody's pursuing something all the time. And the problem is, I mean, certainly God has given us energies and abilities, and a lot of great things have happened as a result of you know, this whole idea of moving forward. I don't want to go against that. But that can take over. And we think that we're creating a utopia. And all we need is a little more. And all we need is something new. And all we need and all we need and all we need. And guess what? What that ends up with is all we need. We still are in a place of need, right? Yeah, I mean, where does satisfaction really come? Don't ask Mick Jagger. You seen him lately? Looks pretty rough. I can't believe the guy's still alive. Man, there's hope for me. Okay, great. All right, yeah. That's the grace of God, I think, you know, all right. Yeah, we didn't know Mick was going to be a part of this sermon today, but here we go. And now, all right. Oh man, crazy. No, but truly satisfaction only will come to our hearts and our lives when we find our true reason for existing. And that is, we're created by God, we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus to be in God's family. We are united together in Christ to serve him now and for eternity. And when we find that, and when we really do find that, when we will let ourselves rest in that, I think that's a big piece for myself. You know, when I know those things, but when I really will take it to heart and I really will look to him and not just to myself or to others, but thank him for all those pieces that come together, that's where I'm going to find what I need. Yeah, and Paul says he's found it. I don't think he's done. He's still on this earth like you and me. He knows he's going to find it completely someday when he's with the Lord, and that we look forward to that too. Hallelujah. But Paul, in the midst of this, is living in God's grace and giving God's grace to others. You know, I love that thought. I think if we could just kind of keep that thought in our minds, it would make a major difference in a lot of things in life. You know, if we could daily, moment by moment, live in God's grace. In other words, grace means unmerited favor, right? Grace means that we have received something we didn't earn or deserve, right? So somebody said one time they used the word grace and they put words with each letter, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. You probably heard that before. Yeah, we have the riches of God. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we have the riches of God, but it's not because we've earned it. It's not because we've deserved it, but it's because of God's love for us. It's because of his willingness to give Jesus to die on the cross for us. We're coming to this time of year where the world really will be focused again on the fact that Jesus suffered and died and rose again. We celebrate because we know. We celebrate. And we can live in that grace. We don't have, I mean, certainly as believers, there should be change in our lives. But our status with God is not based on our ability to please him on our own. It's through our trust in what he has already done for us. And there is a rest and a peace to be ours in Christ, knowing that our sins are paid for. Knowing that we belong to Him forever. Knowing that we, who are a mess, have been loved by a God who loves us to the uttermost and has brought to us what we could never get for ourselves. And that is grace. And it's not just to be received, but it's also to be lived out. May we know the grace of God. Paul prays that, and we'll talk about that as his last phrase kind of in this whole letter. But may we know the grace of our Lord Jesus, but also may we be the grace of our Lord Jesus to each other. Hard to do sometimes, all right? Because we're looking at the problem instead of maybe our own resolution with Jesus that we can offer to the problem. Amen. But Paul then leads to this wonderful verse that encourages us all. This is a great verse. It really is one that you should memorize. It's one that should encourage you, because I know all of us are in situations, either right now or we have been or we will be, where we realize the depths of our needs in this world. And it can be financial, it can be relational, it can be multiple things. But we're very needy. And so Paul says, this same God that I found contentment in, this same God that I'm able, even in prison, to say, I got all I need and more, this same God promises you the same thing. I want you to know it too, all right? That's what he's saying. And he's saying, the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Wow, let's take a close look at that verse. Paul wants his brothers and sisters in Philippi to know that which he has found to be true, that no matter what challenges we face in this life, God is faithful to take care of us. Now, there are times where we might question that. I mean, sometimes we're in some pretty deep stuff and painful things in life. And one of the questions that sometimes comes to our mind is, where are you, God? All right? Nothing new. Read the Psalms. David wrote about that. Okay? We're a little bit different situation than David, though. I mean, that was pre-cross, pre-gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? So we're kind of in a much more vital place, I think, than David was. I mean, as far as the way to God, it was the same. But God has given us his spirit to dwell within us today, which is David had his spirit when God was working in certain situations, but it wasn't the same. And we're in a very privileged position. We don't always live like it, but we need to. And that position is that God is with us. Isn't that the key to the coming of Christ, right? Emmanuel, that was the name given, right? God is with us. What an amazing truth. And that's what Paul was saying. He's saying this God, he loves you. He's with you. He's faithful to take care of us no matter what challenges we face in this life. You know, Jesus demonstrated that when he walked this earth. He showed us the way. He had no home. He had no regular income. He had no status. But he trusted his heavenly Father to meet his daily needs. He spoke of seeking first the kingdom of God, and that all the things that we need will be added to us. He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He said that God takes care of flowers and sparrows, and we are much more valuable than they are. Great words from Jesus. Paul is wanting the Philippians to know these things. He wants them, it's almost like Paul is saying, I want to make sure you are repaid by God for the kindness that you've shown to me. And I believe with all my heart, because I know who God is, that that's going to happen. That's what he's saying here, okay? It's almost, if some of the Greek words in here are very clear. It's almost like I got this gift from you, and I want you to have this gift back, all right? So, like I said, I'm not a Greek scholar, but other people are, and I read what they say. Okay, anyway. But anyway, it's the focus that is here. So he's wanting them to be repaid by God for their kindness to him. He trusts God for his own needs. Paul has been doing that, making it very clear. But he's also trusting God for their needs as well. And he wants them to know what God will do for them. And he wants them to experience it for themselves. Not just saying, well, we know that Paul had that, and so we believe. No, he wants them to live that same kind of life. That there is an intimate, personal relationship with the Heavenly Father and him caring for them. And why does Paul want that? Because he loves them. He has a deep love. He is following the Lord Jesus, and he loves and cares for them. But also because he wants God to be glorified. I mean, this truth is amazing and wonderful. As we think about it, we too, as followers of Jesus, can know this in our lives, that this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. God is able to do it, and God is willing to do it. Wow. You know, he has glorious riches, and he has already shown us how much he loves us by Jesus being given to us to be our Savior. Now, I know it says needs, and not wants, and I've heard many people talk about that, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit right now, all right? But I also know that God, many times in my life, has supplied far beyond my needs. Can you testify to that? Yeah, I see a lot of heads moving. All right, that's good. Is that the spiritual head moving moment here? Okay, good. All right, that's good. Yeah. Okay, this is what we do here at Community. We can do this. All right. Different churches do different things. I know. Okay. All right. Psalm 37. I'll take you back there a minute. David writes this. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take the delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you." Now, before I say anything more on this, let me just say this. I know this from experience, and I know it from reading the rest of the Bible. This is certainly not a blank check for us to use, saying God will give us all of our desires. That would be weird. That certainly wouldn't be godly, because our desires often don't fit with his. Right? Yeah? I don't know what all your desires are, but I know they don't fit with his. All right. Okay. Yeah, they don't. So what do we do with this? Well, there are qualifications here. And this is not an official from the Hebrew translation, but it's my paraphrase, okay? And so I would say it this way. The promise is that when our heart is in line with God's heart, he gives us that which our heart desires, okay? Now, how do you know when you line up? Well, I'm not sure we always do, okay? I think that's something we pursue. I think that's what David's saying. Okay, this is our part. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We look to him. We depend on him. We are looking to him to do what's good and right. Okay? And if we are, then our heart will be mended and directed according by his Spirit to the right direction. And we'll find ourselves, I know I found this to be very true as I prayed, I'll find myself being kind of redirected in maybe what I think I need. Have you ever had that as you pray? Huh? You ever had a redirection? You should, okay? Because the Spirit of God's within you, all right? And as you're praying, he's going to redirect and guide you. And that's what praying is about. It's that connectional relationship. Yeah. And so as that happens, our heart desires get molded into his. And he is a good father. And he will only give what is best for us, not what we think we need and what is best. Right? That's the dynamic that's here. But let's not forget what is here. We are to trust and not be afraid. As we trust God, as we live for Him, as we take delight in Him, as we commit everything we do to Him, we will rejoice in His care and love and provision. We do not control what God does in any way, but we are recipients. Hallelujah. We are recipients of His grace and love. Our trust is in a Father who is good. Our trust is in God, and we receive from His hand according to His will and not ours. Even Jesus, of course, said, Lord, if it was to be possible, take this cup from me. But whatever your will is, right? Whatever your will is, I'm submitting to it. And so that's free for us on a day-by-day as well. Our trust is in Him. Paul's example to the Philippians is a good reminder that this does not promise luxury and financial prosperity to the Christian. For he said he has learned to be content in God's care, whether in want, which was certainly not prosperity, and in plenty, which could be viewed that way. But the contentment from God has nothing to do with the satisfaction of his wants, but his needs. And so he's trusting God no matter what his condition, his situation. Jesus and Paul and many Christians today demonstrate that obedience to the will of God does not result in prosperity, but many times in hunger, pain, and struggle to the point of death. It is not prosperity that is promised here, but rather that God will supply the resources to deal with whatever we face in life. As Americans, as Americans in this century in particular, we see our needs as meaning more money. Now, I like more money. It is comfortable at times to have enough to eat and to take care of things. I mean, I mentioned this, it's on my mind, I can't help but say it again. We were just with my daughter and her family, and her husband doesn't have a job right now, and so there's concern about all of that. It's a big deal. So what do? Do I really believe this passage? I do. I read David, too. He says, I've lived a long life, and I've never seen, you know, God's people and his children begging for bread. I believe that. Do I get nervous about it? You bet I do. You know, am I a father who cares? Yeah. All right? But I have to trust my heavenly Father in my fatherly ministry, right? Okay, and so what is the part we play? I mean, we're praying about those things. But we have to be careful in our American culture that we don't apply the culture to God's kingdom. That makes sense? I mean, I think sometimes that gets mixed up. Yeah. You see, many people in America and around the world, but we'll just talk about where we live, but many sacrifice emotional, physical, and mental health in pursuing wealth. Two-income households, which I don't believe are evil, but I think they can be dangerous sometimes if we're just working all the time and we have no time for our families. But two-income households are the norm in order to pay the bills of larger homes and more things. We do know, though, that in reality, the more we have does not guarantee that satisfaction we desire. So the needs that God will supply and the riches in Christ Jesus are much more than monetary wealth. I do believe that God, Jesus talked a lot about money, God does care for us and we find him supplying. We've talked about that. I believe it with all my heart. I've seen it. I trust him for it. Okay? I believe it's okay. All right? It's just not okay to only want money from God so that he can do, that I can do what I want, you know, regardless of his will. Okay, that's the dangerous thing. All right. Now, the writer of Proverbs gives us a great illustration of finding the right balance. We read in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, he says, give me neither poverty or riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. You see, he's saying that really wealth can turn us away from God. The riches of God, though, are much more than money. Paul speaks of them in his letters. As he refers to it here, I'm going to take us to some other places as he writes to churches where he talks about riches. And in Romans 11:33, he says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge," much beyond money, all right? "How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. God's riches are found in his wisdom and knowledge." Don't we desperately need that? Colossians 2:2, he says that in Christ lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, that phrase. And in Ephesians 1:7, he says, "God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins." So we find in that verse all kinds of things. Okay, we have forgiveness in Christ. What great riches. Freedom from the penalty of sin that we would deserve. Freedom from those things that would hold us back from knowing God. And kindness and grace from God, and kindness and grace in the midst of all of life as we go through it. In Ephesians 3:6-8, Paul writes that as believers, both Jew and Gentile who believe the good news, we share in the riches inherited by God's children. We enjoy the promise of blessings because we belong to Christ, and there are endless treasures available in Christ. And in Ephesians 3:16, Paul prays that from his glorious, unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. The riches of God are far different from the riches of this earth. He does provide them for us to use for his glory, but true riches are deeper than the things of this world. True riches are salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, peace, patience, joy, love, grace, kindness, contentment, and we could go on and on with a lot of things that the Bible tells us we have in Christ. So the next sentence that Paul gives now in this passage that we're looking at today is all about giving God the glory. He says, "Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen." Give glory to God when you're in need for true spiritual growth is often most evident in times of want, right? But give glory to God, too, when you have more. We need to remember that when we experience affluence and life becomes more financially comfortable, to not rely on ourselves, but give God praise and live with open hands. Remember that there are others around who have been as faithful as we are, and even more so, but yet do not have the same provision. Doesn't mean we're more special. It means that we have responsibilities. Yeah. To whom much is given, much is required. All right. In it all, we are to praise him for his grace to us and to trust him and not ourselves or anyone else. All right. Now we're coming to the end. Okay. We're wrapping it up here. Paul now ends the letter with greetings and blessings. And all of his letters have these comments at the end. They're personal writings to actual people, actual churches that Paul knows about and loves and cares for, and he's writing and wants them to be encouraged as he writes in that personal connection. Now, we learn some things from these greetings. First of all, we learn that Paul wasn't alone, right? He says, "My greetings, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you their greetings." There were more with him than just Epaphroditus. Paul was never, by the way, a lone ranger in ministry. If you read his accounts in Acts and other places as he writes his letters, there were always others there. He always had them with him as he was discipling them, as they were working together. He was being encouraged by others and being encouraging to others, living out the importance of living life as a member of the body of Christ, showing what he wanted the churches to know, and that was, we need each other. This is Christ's way. Okay, and he sends greetings from those with him and from all the believers in Rome. Now, I think that was a word of encouragement to the Philippians. I mean, sometimes, and I'm sure back at that time particularly, they might have felt very much alone at times, right? Paul's in Rome. They're in Philippi. He was their spiritual father. He had set things up. They had a lot of struggles and things going on that he's addressed Okay, and they might feel like, oh my goodness, we're just all isolated here, and he wants to encourage them with what God is doing in another place, in a place where they would not really expect it to happen, by the way. All right, I don't know if that's happened to you. It's happened to me at times in life, as I have heard different stories about God working in a place I didn't think it would happen, and what that did for me. I remember one time I was in China, and I was meeting with a group of believers, okay? And of course, we were doing ministry in the United States with Chinese at universities, okay, sharing Christ with them, and we were actually back in China to visit with some people who had become Christians. Well, this one girl who was in the group shared her story, and her story was that she had gone to university in Moscow. And while she was in Moscow, she heard the gospel and believed in Christ. Now, that was outside of my territory. I'm an American. I mean, I don't think of Moscow as a place where somebody's going to go hear the gospel and believe. God's beyond all of my divisions in this world, okay? You know, and what did that do for, I'm still telling you about it today, right? It was encouraging. God is at work beyond what I think or see. Okay? Sometimes when I feel like, oh my gosh, what is really, this world is such a mess. Is the Lord really doing anything? I mean, I think there's temptations to think that way sometimes. But I do believe that Paul is trying to deal with some of that as he gives these greetings. He wants them to be encouraged by other believers, other places. The body of Christ is much bigger than Community Christian Fellowship on York Road in Carlisle. And I am so thankful. Now, we thank God for working here, right? And we thank God that we can be a part of what he's doing worldwide, and we are, and we want to be. And that should be our perspective, right? Our perspective is a global one. Actually, it's a universal one in the sense of God is at work in all places. He's in charge of what goes on in Moscow, too. How about that? Yeah. All right. He's working. And so Paul wants them to know that there are believers in Rome, the pagan city, the place where the whole pagan government was run, the place where they were being persecuted from. Nero was in charge. He was not favorable to Christianity. All right? Paul would eventually die as a martyr under Nero. Many of the Philippians later on are going to experience more and more persecution. All right? There are challenges going on here and will go on that they'll need to know that they're not alone. And they need to know that God is working in a place that it seems impossible for something to happen. We read it earlier in Philippians when Paul said some of the guards had become Christians. You remember that? Yeah. Some of the guards from Caesar's top guards have become Christians. God was doing something. Well, now he says something more, because we're going to read on here. He says, the greetings also come from those in Caesar's household. Wow. Now, that can mean a lot of different people, and he doesn't give specifics, okay? It could mean some of the slaves that are in his household. I think it probably means more than that. It probably means that, all right? But it probably also means some people of significant influence. You know, God has his people in places we have no idea about, right? And sometimes we find out a little bit. I mean, I'll tell you another China story. Maybe I've told you this already. I don't recall whether I shared it here or not. But one time we were in China, and one of our staff had been asked by a former person, I mean, by a person they had met actually at Penn State. And they were back there to revisit them, and this person had a class that they were sharing in. They said, and the person says, I want you to share your testimony with my class. Well, this is in China, all right? And our staff says, well, do you think that's a good idea? You know, what will your dean say about that? And the person says, well, I am the dean. God's got people. He's doing things. Yeah. And I'm always surprised. I'm sure the Philippians were surprised to hear this. Really? There are believers in Caesar's household? That's got to lift their spirit. That's got to create in them what Paul has been wanting them to do all along, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I'll say it. Rejoice. He's closing out with things to encourage them to rejoice. Yeah, they're believers in the household of Caesar. Then Paul ends this letter as he began, speaking of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This letter has pointed to Jesus as the source of all we need, and the ending is a reminder of what we have in him. And he says, may his grace be with your spirit. May we be full of Jesus. May the deepest parts of us be touched by his grace. You see, what we need, friends, is grace. That's what we really need. We need to be able to rest in it. We need to let it lead us daily. We need to let it be that which we show to others. We need a lot more grace. And God's got it. And he'll give it as we submit to him to receive it. So as we close this study, remember who you are in Christ, what he has done for you, that you are loved and cared for by God no matter what your situation, and he has promised if you trust him, he'll get you through. He'll supply what you need, what you really need. He'll direct you appropriately. You can trust him. All right. And may his grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, what grace is that? That's the grace that came from heaven, gave up his position, took on the form of mankind, paid for all of our sins, was actually scorned by his heavenly Father for a period on the cross, but then fully restored on our behalf so that he rose from the dead and was the firstborn of all who believe, that we have eternal life. We have a relationship with God. We have access to all the grace we need. We can come into his very presence, right, in Hebrews, and we can find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. That should cause us to do what Paul's been saying. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. What are you going to do? Rejoice. Oh, my gosh, really? That was so inspirational. I can hardly bear it. What are you going to do?
Rejoice.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, that we can rejoice even when it's hard. Paul was certainly living it. He wanted the Philippians to know it. And by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, we read it today straight from you. Lord, thank you that we can go there. Thank you that we don't need to be crushed by our life circumstances. That the things that you allow us to go through, Lord, are still within your hand. And that you are a good God and Father. And that you have shown us how much you love us as you gave Jesus to come and be our Savior. As we continue in this time of year where we reflect on the suffering and death of Jesus, may we do so, Lord, remembering of what that means for each one of us, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ may be with us. We thank you in his name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together one last time.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. You come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
As we go. Yeah. May we bear our cross with the strength of the Lord, whatever we're going through, so that the treasure that we have will be seen and discovered by others. That's a good guidance for us as we go into this week. We're going to have challenges, right? You got some right now you're thinking about. But the Lord is enough. He has glorious riches for you in Christ that'll get you through whatever it is. So hold on to him because he's holding on to you. Stay close. He's all we need. God bless you. Have a good week.